Good day, friends. Jonathan Daugherty here with another edition of the PSR Podcast. I just want to remind you that we're a listener-supported outreach of Be Broken Ministries, and our mission is to help individuals and families move from sexual brokenness to wholeness in Christ and equip others to do the same. In today's episode, Stephen Cervantes and I are going to explore the idea of men being under-sad. This means when we struggle to recognize or express sadness. We talk about why grieving is essential for emotional health, not just in big losses, but in everyday disappointments. Stephen shares some practical ways to support others in their sadness and encourages us to embrace vulnerability, compassion, and also prayer. Together, we explore that facing our sadness leads to deeper connection, healing, and a more restful, authentic life. For daily thoughts from Stephen, visit drmarriage.org. For additional resources, visit our website at bebroken.org. We're going to put a lot of links in today's show notes to help you understand this topic. And of course, friends, I'm going to remind you to please rate and review the podcast after listening to help others find it. Now, let's dive deep into today's really important conversation on sadness and grieving. Well, all right, we've got Dr. Cervantes in the house. How's it going?
I'm blessed and glad to be here, and it's been a while, my friend.
I know, yeah. We've been having so many guests on the podcast. I'm good. But we never are going to squeeze out the great Dr. Stephen Cervantes. Because we gotta have Dr. Marriage.
I'm being blessed here, folks. Yeah, I'm being blessed. So I receive. I receive.
All these guests are standing on your shoulders.
So, whoa.
Well, you know, I do want to, as we have been doing in recent years, definitely want to plug drmarriage.org, because that's where I would say drmarriage.org is the production arm of the Pure Sex Radio podcast.
Oh, I love it.
Because, you know, how long have you been putting out the Daily Thought now? It's been over a year, hasn't it?
Oh, yeah. So we're 400 or something. I would write them for our podcast, so for years.
Right. Well, that's what I'm saying. I'm saying Dr. Marriage is actually, it's so interwoven with what we've been doing here on the podcast, and you just decided, hey, I can't lift this briefcase anymore that has all of these thoughts in there. So you just started putting them on your website.
Well, and I was telling a guy the other day, I said, who is training the men? Mm-hmm. I mean, who are the older guys, which you and I are moving in the category, who are the older guys that are training the younger guys? Yeah. And I know there's a lot of ministries out there, but who's creating stuff? And Be Broken has created lots of good stuff.
And on that note, one of the things I do want to let our listeners know is this year we started creating curated bundles of the podcast. So, because we're over 1,000 episodes.
Okay.
And so what we're doing is for men, for wives, for marriage, for family.
Oh, how nice.
Is now, we've got a place on our website where you can go and, let's say for men, and it say, how do you deal with temptation? Well, we've got the top 8 to 10 podcasts of all time.
Beautiful.
To help on that topic. Or, you know, so.
Yes. And Dr. Marriage is doing the same thing, picking topics that we think people want to, you know, strengthen themselves in these weak areas.
And so that's the one exciting. We're going to talk about today is one that I really just, you know, sometimes the titles just grab me. And and this was definitely one of those. It just says at the top, under sad. And I thought, what does under sad mean? And the very first line is, you have been under sad. And I thought, okay, we got to unpack that because for one thing, this is an emotion that I think a lot of men just don't understand. They don't know how to navigate or regulate or respond to. And so
that is so good.
Help us understand what we are going to be talking about here about the topic of being under sad.
So I think let's back up to the topic of grieving, because I think one of the most powerful tools that we have that people don't use very much is the idea of grieving. And why is grieving important? Because to pass through and release something, you must grieve releasing and moving to the next place, right? And I guess maybe, but where's it real obvious? In midlife, right? Do I want to leave this phase and go to that phase? No. It's funny because I just turned 70, okay?
Ooh, all right.
And so they brought these big numbers, 7 over to the birthday party, big numbers at the table in the restaurant, giant golden 7-0. And I thought, no, I don't want, I want to be in the 60s longer. I don't want to go to the next phase. So I literally have to grieve the fact that I'm not going to be in any of the 60s anymore. They're gone. I'm going to the 70s now. So grieving is often needed to go from one phase to the next. Mm-hmm. Right? If you thought you were going to have this job and the company got bought out, you lost your job, you have to grieve to go to the next job.
And I think something that's important that you reiterate a lot of times when talking about grieving is it's not a process that is has intention of changing what has happened. It's right. A way to finally come to a place of accepting what has happened so that you can transition to whatever the next stage of
yes.
life is going to be.
Well, and I'm so glad you said that because I have these two I put together. I don't just grieve. I grieve to release, right? We grieve so we can release something. So we don't have, but you know, you see people that are stuck, you know, and say a widow says, my husband died, and she's just stuck and bitter and stops living, right? Because she has not grieved and released it. She's stuck in the grieving process, which, okay, I don't want to tell somebody how to run their life, but you see that over and over.
I don't think any of us want to remain stuck. It's not a place that we like to be. So I think, but I think a lot of people, myself included, struggle with really getting through the process of grief. And I think especially for men, this issue of sadness is one of those that's really
yes.
hard to navigate.
Right. So it's a powerful tool. It's necessary. But if you don't like to feel,
you're not going to use
your grieving tool.
Yeah.
Right. And just think about it. You know, when somebody's a victim and they, you know, they sort of say in that place that you go, well, get up and do something. Well, you know, life's hard. And they can't make the transition from, okay, I had a hard life, but get engaged and move forward. Well, I have to grieve the fact that there was a lot of sadness and poor training. I get yelled at. Okay, let me grieve that so I can be free of it, so I can be released to embrace the new. Because God is going to push you along. I don't know if you know this or not. You were 10, okay? And you woke up and you were 20. And then
you're 70.
I was going to go 30, then you hit that 40, and all the while you're learning new things, and the things you did at 10 don't make sense anymore.
And even if you try hard to keep things the same, they will change,
yeah,
right? Because the people around you will leave or die.
That's exactly right.
You cannot go through life without change being in your face.
Yes, but think about this, because I don't know if what you said is true emotionally.
Mm.
Now, it is true, you have to change, but people don't believe they have to change. However they started, well, this is how I am. You heard that language before? Well, I've always done it this way. You know, you hear this language of stay the same.
You know, one of the ways that I've heard this and even said this is around personality type.
Okay.
So, for instance, I have to guard against using the fact that I am more bent towards introvertism as a way to keep me from actually engaging relationships, engaging community. It can be almost like a weapon of like, oh, I'm an introvert.
Right.
I won't engage. Wait a second. That can't be an excuse.
Right. And that's hard.
For not growing.
That's not my skill set. Oh, people are better at it. You hear that language? It's all so I can stay the same. So that's the dilemma, is that we like comfort and repetitiveness and to succeed with what we know. So we like to stay the same. But that's not God's plan, right?
So how does this fit with being under sad?
Yes. So grieving is really important. So think about two men sitting together and one man says to the other, I think you're under sad. Well, what I love about the line is when you use language differently, it hits differently.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to think about it. You know, you're a nice guy. That's like nothingness. I've heard it so many times. It's like nothingness. But you're under sad. Wait.
What does that mean?
Yeah. Everything come online. What does that mean? How do I make sense of that? And so, well, that's what I love about using words like this.
Well, that's why we're talking about it on the podcast, because I saw a headline that said under sad.
That is too good. But think about it. We're all emotional beings, and sadness is a critical one. So, and in my mind, what we've learned with working with all these guys that have sexual addictions is they're emotionally weak, right? They're underdeveloped. And so when you see a guy that doesn't grieve, embrace sadness, my sadness, your sadness, doesn't use the language of sad, isn't okay with saying, oh, that's sad, or let me just sit with you. I don't know what else to say, but I'm going to be in this sad moment, right? If somebody's under sad, it means they don't use sadness as a way to go forward.
Yeah, and you know, one of the things that I've seen, I think the most common thing I've seen, and this was certainly true in my own life, is because the only emotion that seemed to be acceptable to express, even though it was negative, was anger.
Right.
So a lot of times I couldn't even recognize that I was actually sad because I was so quick to go towards anger. So in other words, to give you an example, is something happened, maybe let's go back to high school or college, something happened in the day that was disappointing.
Yep.
That's a sadness emotion, right?
Right.
But instead of allowing myself to feel the sadness or talk to somebody else about the sadness, I got mad. So it was like, I'm actually disappointed, but I'll go to frustration. I'll go to anger because I understand that emotion better. It seems like more of an acceptable male emotion.
It's so out there.
I'll be angry about the situation rather than going, I'm really sad that that didn't happen or that didn't come through.
And slow the system down and go inside.
Because I'd never been really trained in my family environment to know how do you go to
sadness. That's why I invited him. This is a show and tell podcast. Okay, yeah. You're the poster
child. I'm the guinea pig. Yeah.
No, this is perfect, though. What you're saying is perfect.
But I think that happens in a lot of men's lives. Because how do parents know how to train up little boys to engage sadness, even though, you know, especially when any child, girl or boy, is really little, they naturally know how to express these emotions. Tears will come.
Right.
You know, there will be sadness expressed. But at a certain point, it's almost as if that gets trained out of us and saying, you know, be tough. It's like, okay, I'll be angry, but I don't know how to be sad.
And you have to think about, did the culture use it that you were in? Because then you learn it from the culture. Or did you decide that, okay, I'm going to run this program, strength, stand up, be strong, go out, don't go in much?
It just felt safer.
Yeah.
Anger feels a lot safer. It felt a lot safer to me as a boy and a man than sadness. Sadness, there's a vulnerability to it that says the way it would come across to me was anger had like a power and a strength to it.
Yes.
Sadness felt weak.
Interesting.
Have any power to respond to this. I just have to be sad.
I love that. You know? And that's, I think this is perfect what you're saying, because who wants to sit around and be weak?
Right.
Right. Who wants to be lost and confused and look mopey and just be sad or just be grieving?
Especially the way that we're typically trained as men. Or, you know, how to be men. We don't want to train to be weak.
So if your culture was too intense, it was too much yelling or emotion, mom was too emotional or dad was too, and so you decide, wow, I've got to not be emotional, right? I've just got to shut down the emotions, because if you're emotional, people think you're losing your mind. Look how crazy and how much damage these emotions do. So shut them down. And so I like the model you have. Go outward and be strong. Because the other option is just shut down and numb out and don't face the emotional reality of what's going on and don't pay attention to yourself. And, you know, the interesting thing about us is we're always trying to help men more self-aware.
Mm-hmm.
They don't pay attention to themselves, right? And yours is a good example. Build an outer skill set, not an inner skill set. And yet as we get older, and what's the transformation of the gospel about? The heart, the mind, the soul, mm-hmm. the will, the right, the being transformed. So one, as a child, if the culture was too intense, shut down. If the emotions of the household were too confusing, shut down. Don't go into sadness. There's no strength. There's no power. There's confusion. What, are you going to sit and wallow? That's the plan? No, don't do sadness. So some guys try to even think, well, I'll just stay in the middle. This is the other thing. Go outward, wallow in the corner, or hold your system in the middle. Don't be too high and don't be too low. And you'll see these guys, they don't get excited and they don't get down. They just stay kind of numb in the middle. So the whole point is, do you know you have sadness? If I bring you some sadness, can you join me in the sadness? Can sadness be part of our plan? Or do we just try to ride the middle or stay numb?
And I want to hone in on that one that you just said. Is sadness part of the plan? Because here's the thing. One of the things that I learned from you years ago about grieving was I had always thought of grieving as merely being something that's part of, let's say, extreme situations. You have a person that dies or there's right. a tragedy of some kind, and thinking, well, those are the contexts in which grieving is to happen. And that's true. One of the things that you taught me was grieving is actually a discipline. Like, are we bringing, when I learned, this is some things that really made some connections for me. When I learned that statistically in the United States of America, a man is going to face an average of 20 disappointments every day.
Yes.
And I thought, okay, disappointments, that's sadness.
Yes.
Grieving is how we deal with sadness. So I thought, that means every day I've got to be engaging in the grief process. It's on a micro level. It's
yes.
not, it's not the same as when a parent dies or a spouse dies.
That's a good point.
But it's still the process. I have to engage sadness with grieving. And if I'm going to face 20 sadnesses every day,
right.
what am I doing to bring grief to this? I realized it has to be part of the plan. I can't just say it's for really super special occasions that are really hard.
That's right.
And so that's really helped me to start to learn, what does it look like for me to go through grief every day for, like you said, release.
To release. Yes. Good. And when you said, I'm disappointed and anger wants to come out quick. Well, okay, that's fine. But that's only half the plan.
But can sometimes, I come back to sadness, right?
Yeah, and you got to sometimes be a man and be strong and push through a difficult situation that's not working. Okay, use your intensity and lead and push through and, you know, back somebody down or help the dead the downtrodden, or use your back and your voice to lead with strength. But the other part is also step back and realize there's sadness in my body and it didn't go the way I wanted, and bring my body to go through grief so I can get to rest. Because ultimately the goal is to run a very restful system. That's the goal. And if we can't grieve, we can't always get back to rest.
Well, let's take just a minute to kind of define that, because I think as soon as somebody hears rest, they think like inactivity, or they think, you know, I'm not doing anything. If I hear you correctly, and I think I've known you long enough to know what you mean when you say that, it's that your internal system is operating on a peace, a rest.
Yes.
There can be a lot of things going on in your life. You might be having to address a lot of scenarios in relationships and in recovery and all of that, but it's not coming from a chaotic churning in your soul. And so that's what I think you're saying. Grieving
yes.
and dealing with sadness helps us get back to that kind of regulated state of I'm at rest in my soul,
yes.
even if there's a lot of difficult things that I've got to be facing in my life.
That's exactly right, to be restful inside.
Yeah.
The other dimension of grieving that's really important and practicing sadness and experiencing, embracing it is for connection. You're sad. I don't want anything to do with sadness. Well I'm going to tell you, well, stop it. Get over it. Everybody.
Be happy.
Yeah, come on. I'm going to jerk you out of the sadness. I'm not going to enter sadness with you and sit with you in sadness. No, I don't do sadness. So I do logic. I do fixing. I do happy. I do move along. Right? Those all work. But they don't work for connecting.
And I have to confess, this is an area that I feel like I've moved inches in, but I've got miles to go.
Okay.
Because I will say this, a lot of times other people's sadness, man, it makes me hyperventilate. You know, I get a little bit, I'm like, I don't know what to do. And I have found myself, and I will tell you, I'm going to tell on myself. I'm going to tell you the things that are not good to do in trying to engage another person's sadness. It's not good to go into fix-it mode and try to say, how can I immediately fix it? It's not good either to go into, how can I make things better? The other thing, too, that is really...
What can I do?
The other thing that's really not good that I unfortunately have done multiple times is let's throw a verse at them. Things work together for those who love. You know, things are...
Thank you so much for saying that.
So since I know all the things that are not good to do in coming to somebody else's sadness, can you teach us what may be some good things to do when you encounter somebody else's sadness? Like, how can you enter into another person's sadness?
Okay, but before I get there, I have to make this point. If you don't use your sadness, how do you connect with God? Hmm. You just tell him he's great? Or do you say, God, I'm struggling today, mm-hmm. right? It starts an internal dialogue that allows us to engage our spiritual Heavenly Father and say, hey, you know, Father, I wanted this to happen. I'm let down. Can I just talk to you about it? Or your spouse, when they're sad and they want to process out the feeling of sadness, or when I'm sad and I'm confused and struggling. I get this heavy, ugly mood on me. What is this about? I don't know. I'm down. Well, practice sadness because it'll help clean the system out, move things around so you can get back to being peaceful and restful. So sadness is a great way to connect with another human being. Through our sadness, who didn't get rejected? Who didn't fall down and get hurt, who didn't get disappointed, who didn't get ignored or let go or not picked for the team. That's all of us. So one, you're not going to be able to help anyone else until you allow yourself to start experiencing sadness and being okay with the fact that you're sad, because people think, I'm going to be sad and then I'm going to get sadder, sadder, sadder and ball up in the corner and die. Well, I don't see too many people balled up in the corners dying. You know what I mean? We get sad, then we get tired of being sad, and we get up and we go live. So when you, I think the first part is to be aware to say, look, I think I've been undersad most of my life.
Yeah, and I think just being able to articulate the emotion is good, which is why we regularly tell guys, hey, get a feelings wheel. Yeah. Get one of these things that helps you understand it. You know, just happy, mad, sad is not, even in sadness, there's level kind of layers to it. And can the better that you can actually identify and define the emotion you're having, the better you're going to be able to connect with somebody else, because you're going to say, you know what, I'm feeling down today. And I think it's because this thing that I had been working on for 3 months, it didn't come to fruition.
Yeah.
And I'm disappointed. I'm sad that didn't happen. And so being able to really identify the definition of what you're feeling will really then help somebody else maybe enter into it with you. And you can get that resolution that leads to what Stephen's talking about regarding just that peace and that rest. So that it doesn't have to be like, hey, this disappointment that happened, it is going to crush my life. It's like, no, I'm going to feel the appropriate emotion that I'm sad that didn't happen.
And yes, and I might join you in the sadness.
Yeah.
It's such a beautiful thing to not be alone.
To tell somebody else, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm sorry that happened, you know.
So number one, because that's the ending, that's beautiful. I'm sorry that happened to you. That's so sad. That's beautiful language. But these guys who have been under sad, they need to have a new template, okay? So number one is to say, oh, this is sadness. I don't know much about this. I'm going to learn about me, and I'm going to learn about you, because now I'm getting restless. And it's like, why am I getting restless? They're talking about their sad life. Why? I want to fix something. Come on. Don't just stay doing nothing. Well, I don't know where this goes. Oh, it's their sadness. It's their sadness. And so if you could move to being curious and say, wow, I wonder what they're trying to say. I wonder if they're stuck. Because remember, in stories, people get stuck. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. And then sometimes they're sad and they're fluid. Well, this happened. It was bad. But then I got up and did this, and it helped a little bit. And then I know my favorite thing. So I went to the place at the park where I sit, and you can hear them in sadness moving. And sometimes they're stuck in their sadness. Those are two things you're going to encounter.
And that's where some of those just basic kind of communication tips come in handy of like, tell me more, you know,
yes,
just get the story out so that they can get the full arc of the sadness.
And I would say that's part of the curiosity.
Yeah.
You tell me more, keep going. That's beautiful. Because then you have to say to yourself, I'm not going to die. I don't die here. This is their sadness. I'm scared. I'm agitated. I'm fidgeting. I'm not going to die. I don't die. This is not the day I die. I don't die right now. Settle down, buddy. Settle down. You want to run? Settle down. You got to do some self-talk to get your system to stay. It's trained to what you said. Get angry or go fix and get out of here. There's three things we're trained to do well. Mm-hmm. But stay and let someone tell their story, because at the end of the story, they will celebrate you staying with them.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much. Oh, I needed to say that. I feel better. I just got it out.
And you know
out.
What? Then that becomes part of the story of them dealing with their sadness.
Is it you know? Came in and is that what
I had a friend come in and they talked
yes.
to me. So when they're telling this to someone else, because, you know, that's part of the beauty of, I think, being willing to go into sadness with someone,
yes,
is then that person can become part of the story of how there was peace and rest that came through that person.
And I wasn't alone. And as I talked, I understood myself better.
Mm-hmm.
And I really don't need you to do much. Because have you noticed at funerals, there's nothing good to say. When somebody's spouse died, well, what can you say?
Right.
Right? In the real hard grieving situation, there aren't great lines like, well, I'll make you young again.
Right.
Or, hey, you know, I have $1 million just sitting in the back of my car. Why don't I give it to you and solve all your... No, they're no good. The only thing you do is you bring your presence and you can bring your prayer and your comfort.
And you bring your sadness, right? You're
yes.
sad with them.
Oh, it's so true. And they're not alone.
Yeah.
Right? If you come and sit with me, I know you don't have anything that's going to fix my life. I've seen your life, you know what I mean? Look at everybody else. They're scrambling, they're working, they're trying, they're behind, they're complaining. It's like, you got to mess yourself. You're not going
to
fix my
and
life.
And that's why I believe that, you know, the word that comes to my mind that is what we really need in those situations is compassion.
Mm.
That word literally means to suffer with or suffer alongside.
Oh,
and so
yes.
if think about it, if I don't bring my sadness, I don't give you an opportunity to express compassion. I don't allow anybody to suffer with me if I'm unwilling to say I'm sad. So that's another thing that we need to remember. Men, let's not be stoic and stuff our emotions and say sadness is something that I will never express to anybody else, because guess what? Then we don't get the connection of somebody that can suffer with us, can be sad with us. And isn't that
the gospel? Half your life, I got to tell you, half your life is missed.
Yeah.
There's sadness everywhere, people, children, everywhere on the journey, 20 and 30 and 40, it's sadness. It's really important. And when you say the gospel, I immediately think, when you don't know what else to do, and don't do this early, do this after they've talked a while, just bow and repeat the things they said in prayer to God.
Mm.
God, can you help my wife? She's feeling lonely and nobody's valuing her right now. She's not appreciated at work. And all of a sudden, the words she told you, you are repeating them to the Heavenly Father. And she's watching you talk to God about her. And the story she just told you, you're telling God. It's like, oh my goodness, he gets me.
And not
it's
in a way
spiritual.
That's trying to fix her or anything like that, but just saying, hey, we're having a moment here with all three of us, me, her, and God. And trying to, and that's a beautiful thing doesn't that bring then the rest and the peace that the soul needs?
And
it doesn't mean that the sadness,
yeah.
it doesn't mean that the sadness disappears, the feeling of sadness immediately disappears. I think you get a richer experience of sadness. In other words, I think one of the reasons that I would go to anger so quickly when I'm actually feeling sad is because I was afraid to feel sad. And so you lose a lot of the anxiety around feeling sad when you allow yourself to go into it and express it well.
Amen. And so, learn and be curious.
Yeah.
And learn about your spouse and help them learn about themselves while they unpack it. Beautiful.
So hopefully, men, this has helped you to think about your own under sadness. Are you under sad? Have you been shutting off a whole part of your being because you're like, I don't do sadness. I need to be either middle of the road or out there, you know, being some kind of presentation. But allow yourself to be sad and allow others to come into that sadness with you and experience that deeper rest and peace that God has for you.
Amen. Amen.
So
God bless.
We want to help you take your next best step towards wholeness in Christ and really experiencing that well. So Amen. Please reach out to us, and we'll see you back here again next time on the Pure Sex Radio program.
Thank you.